Club members, welcome to this week's Lunch and Learn. I hope you had a fantastic previous month of July going through a whole bunch of stuff around goals. This particular episode of the Lunch and Learn was inspired by a discussion that I had with Angus Pryor, the marketing guru out there for dental practices. I had him on as a guest to the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast. And he was talking about how we can really tap into our avatar of our practice, and I'll explain what an avatar is, but in essence, it's our ideal patient. We can tap into those people with any kind of report that we could generate from our dental software. And then through our discussion, we then spoke about, well, why don't we survey those people? If they're our ideal patient, why are we surveying everybody under the sun? Why not just survey them? So I wanted to do a club presentation about that because I think this is something that you could do on a regular basis within your dental practice to really help you identify, one, who your ideal patient is, but also what does your ideal patient want from you in terms of the patient experience that they receive. And when I say the right patients, I'm not saying from a character perspective or how much money they contribute or anything like that. I am just talking about our avatar. And an avatar is a term that is given to your ideal client, your ideal patient. And the value behind that is, rather than trying to be all things to all people, rather than having sweeping generalizations about the kind of experience we want to deliver to patients, let's really identify who our ideal patient is. Who are they? What do they want from the practice? And if we continue focusing on those particular patients, we'll start attracting more of them into our practices. And there are three categories that I will go through right now. These are three categories of patients that I think every patient falls into in every practice. And you will have a varying number of each of them within your walls as well, within your patient base. And just because we're identifying the ideal patient or our patient avatar, as Angus Pryor said, it doesn't mean it's to the exclusion of all else. No, it means that we are still the practice that provides wonderful service to everybody. We are just have it very clear in our mind who makes up our client base and who we want to appeal more to and have more of within our patient base. And so we need to make sure that we are providing a service, a level of customer care, a physical environment, the types of service, the services that these wonderful patients do want. Then we can make sure that we're meeting and surpassing their needs and expectations, and our patient base will attract more of those type and become richer because of it. And richer in terms of long-term viability, patient loyalty, happiness of patient because they love what we do, and also the financial contribution that they end up making to the viable element to our businesses. So here are the three categories of patients that I speak about: the transients, the loyals, and the perpetuals. And they are in different sizes to indicate the value they have to the practice. And as I said, the value can be that they're a very loyal patient coming back over and over again. Their value could be that they're referring a lot of patients to you, and so they're helping you build the viability of your practice. Their value could be that they get a lot of the high-end dental services that you like to offer as a practice. Another value is that they turn up on time and they keep their appointment times, they pay their bills. And because they're so thrilled with your organization, they're out there spreading the good word and you're getting a great reputation. And so that's where the value of the patient to your clinic is. Now, each one of these one by one. Number one, the transient patient. Now, the transient patient is the one that will come in just for an emergency consultation. They ring up on the day, I've got a toothache, a broken tooth, I'd love to be seen today. If you can't see them today, that's no drama. I'll just ring the next dentist. I'm just ringing through a few dentists to see who can fit me in. The transient patient, you will know straight away, either through the telephone conversation, they'll say, gosh, I haven't been for 10 years. And you can think in your head, I think this one's a transient patient. A transient patient, you can also tell once they're in the clinical room itself, they open their mouth and they have got clear evidence of unmanaged oral conditions in their mouth as well. And so you can really flag off a transient patient if you've got a categorizing system within your software, your dental software. you can flag off the transients, either both or one or the other, on the phone when you're in the communication with the patient, or when they're in the dental chair and they open their mouth up for the first time. Identifying which ones are your transient patients is a really beneficial thing to do when it comes to following up incomplete treatments or sending subsequent recall notices. And a transient patient doesn't normally convert into a regular attending patient to their checkups and cleans, because this is an inbuilt behavior, an inbuilt belief in themselves that they don't value their oral health as highly as some. And trying to convert that behavior is enormously challenging. And usually the only thing that does it is they think to themselves, I can't stand what's going on in my mouth anymore. That's it, I'm changing my behavior. But it normally comes from within them rather than anything that you've said to them. That's your transient patient. Your transient patient you may see once, you may see two or three times, but only if you can see them in an urgent situation at a time that suits them. If you can't, they don't get cross or angry. They just ring the next dentist in the area. Then we move up to the loyal patients. The loyal patients are the ones that will only ever come to you. So they may not come every 6 months or even every year for a checkup and a clean. However, they will only come to you for their random checkups and cleans, and they will only come to you for any emergency treatment that they have. They wouldn't want to think of going anywhere else. And so if they rang you up in an emergency situation and said, oh, you've got a toothache, I'd really like to be seen today, and you say, gosh, I'm so terribly sorry, we just can't do it today, can we do it tomorrow at 10? They say, yep, no dramas, I'll see you at 10 tomorrow because I only want to see you guys. So they're your loyals. And then we've got your perpetuals. And your perpetuals are the ones that are just like the loyals, but they do come every 6 or 12 months for their general checkups and cleans as well. They'll only ever come to you, so they're ridiculously loyal as well. And they are often the ones that you develop a very strong relationship with because you do see them on a semi-regular basis. And the good thing is, if you deliver a great service, then you can actually get referrals from any of these people. The transients will refer you to their friends and family if they're in dire need and they've been particularly impressed with how gentle you were with them. Or they know you're in the area, they say, I'll ring that dentist, they were good enough with me. The loyals and perpetuals are the ones that have developed a relationship with you. So they will be either the type that refer or not. But if you ask one of them to refer as a special favor, friend or family to you, they're more likely to go ahead and do that because they want to maintain that relationship with you. They've got a likability and trust with you, and they're quite happy to do something for you because they've got that relationship with you. Now, when we see these three different types of patients, as I say, every practice has a combination of those three categories within their walls. When we send a survey, a patient satisfaction survey out to people, quite often the habit is to send it out to everybody or to grab the A's and send it out to all of the A's, the people with the surname starting with A. However, I encourage you to have a think about whose input you want to have that may end up having an impact on the kind of services that you provide, the systems that you've got, and the level of customer service that you provide to your patients as they come through. Because we don't necessarily need to get the opinion of the transient person. What the transient person is after and what they'll be satisfied with is usually to be seen at a time that suits them and to get the treatment they want as quickly as possible and for a reasonable fee. But it's the loyals and perpetuals who you want to attract coming back into your practice again and again, because the value, the financial value of a transient is a one-off treatment, maybe $350, for example, once we do the consultation and the x-ray and either the first stage root canal or the extraction, whatever the treatment may be. The transient has that financial value to the practice. We're just going to talk about financial value at the moment. However, the loyals and perpetuals, they are coming back regularly, spending money again and again this year, the next year, over and over again for their lifetime that they spend with your practice. And the lifetime loyalty that a patient has to a practice, I mean, when I had my practice, I bought it from another dentist who'd been there for a long time. The lifetime value of each the patient was quite large because they'd been returning for 25, 30 years. Younger practices, it'll be a shorter length of time. They haven't been around that long, but these patients have the potential to continue coming back for years and years and years if you continue to deliver an above average service to them. The perpetual patients, certainly, I mean, they've got a more regular spend with your practice. But then when a patient starts to refer friends and family as well, with every referral, they're chunking up in value because if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have all these other patients also contributing these regular amounts of money into the money pot that helps your business remain viable. And the other advantage that we have when we are talking about addressing the loyal and perpetual patients is because they're the ones we develop a relationship with. We can really have enjoyable days when we turn up to work and have enjoyable people moving through the practice that we have lovely conversations with, that really appreciate our service and love the level of customer care that we deliver to them. If on top of that, they're also getting all the services that you love to do at the practice, if you're the dentist, to say you love doing aesthetic work, if you've got a whole bunch of loyal and perpetual patients that come through with that aesthetic mindset, then that's going to help you be a very satisfied clinician. Same if you were doing implants, for example. And so when we're talking about the ideal patient, we've got many different aspects. And in my mind, an ideal patient is coming in every 6 months for their regular checkups and cleans. They love your level of customer service that you deliver, and they are friendly people. They're not abrupt. They're not aggressive. They enjoy having enjoyable times with other people. And so they're a pleasure to have in that dental chair. They pay their bills on time. They turn up to their appointment times. And if anyone's not going to turn up to an appointment time, it's often the transients or turn up late because they haven't got the relationship with you yet where they care all that much whether you're inconvenienced. You want to gather a tribe around you that do care about that and do what they need to do at their end of the relationship to make sure the relationship continues to grow and develop and be strong. And so when we're thinking about whose opinion are we getting when we are trying to identify the kind of service we need to aspire to deliver, do we want the opinion of everybody? And I say, I don't think so. I think select the group of people that you would like to survey. One of the things I've always mentioned in the past is every dentist has a list of patients in their mind that they, when they see that patient on the appointment list for the day, they go, oh, fantastic. That person's coming in today. That's brightened my day. And think about who those patients are. And as I say, many dental team members will understand who they are. And so survey those people, because if they're the ones that are making your everyday happy and they're contributing financially to the financial turnover of the day to make sure the practice remains viable, keep getting more of them. Understand what they think, what they want, what they desire. Deliver that, and you'll get more and more people who will like that kind of service joining your practice as well. However, with my conversation with Angus, as I said on the podcast recently, he raised an interesting point that made me think, why just survey those people? Why not also service the highest spenders in your practice? And so one of the things that Angus does with the practices that he works with is there are reports that you can generate within your dental software. If you don't know how to do it, just ring the support line. They'll tell you straight away of the highest spenders in any given period of time. So every year, why don't you do a list who spent the most with us last year? And get the top 10, the top 20, the top 50, depending on their spend, look at that list and make a judgment. These are the ones we're going to survey because they're the ones we want more of. They make us stronger and more viable. So maybe the highest spenders. How about the biggest referrers? That's another great group of people to survey because they're so thrilled with your service and with their relationship with you. They're telling their friends and family about it. You know, it's been my experience that you are either the type to refer people onto services that you use or you're not. And we want the type that do refer to continue doing it. We want to make sure they know for sure that we love that behavior. So please keep it up. And so we want a lot of referrers because remember, you don't have to spend 1 cent on a patient referring a new patient to you, not 1 cent. And so Get a list of your biggest referrers for last year. Include them in on a survey that you're going to send out to them. And also the ideal services. As I say, if you love doing your implant work, then get all of the implant patients to give you their feedback of this is what I love about coming to your practice and this is what could be improved. And then you start to shift the behaviors and the systems and the actions within your practice so they are better meeting the expectations and desires of this group of people. And so we've got your favorites, we've got your highest spenders, we've got your biggest referrers, and we've got your ideal services list. Get that group of patients together and let's get a survey happening for them. Now, the next thing I wanted to mention to you was how to create the survey itself and what kind of questions to have on it. And I'm never a fan, I don't think many people are a fan, of lengthy surveys. We run out of patience with surveys when we're the ones filling them out really, really quickly. And so we want to keep them short, sharp, and sweet, just get the information that we're desperate for. And there are websites and applications that you can use their survey products. You can pay money for them and they can also be free. But you know what? I reckon one of the quickest, easiest ways to do this is just with a Google form. Most people have a Gmail account, so jump onto Google Forms. I've mocked one up here for you now. And this is how simple it is to create a quick survey for your patients. So in this mock-up, magnificent dental practice. We would love to hear your thoughts on your experience with us. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate your feedback. Get their email address if you would like. You don't need to do that. First question, how satisfied were you with our last experience with us? And we go from worst to best on a scale of 1 to 8. That's a really easy way of determining on a gauge where is this patient sitting in terms of their experience with us. The second question is, what do you enjoy about visiting us? Oh, you're also friendly and the place is always such a warm, welcoming environment. Maybe it's that you have a scanner so I don't need to have impressions anymore. Maybe it's that you have a great hygienist where the cleanings are really, really gentle. What do you enjoy about visiting us? What don't you enjoy about visiting us? Sometimes the receptionist can be cranky. I can't stand the needles. It's really difficult to park. Fourth question. Do you have any suggestions of improvement for us? Keep it nice and open-ended there. Get their great feedback. They've been to other services in the past. They could have some fantastic ideas for us. Such as make sure you put a television screen on the roof. I hear how wonderfully distracting that is. That would be fantastic. Get more parking. And those are the three questions that I would ask on any survey. I wouldn't necessarily go beyond that. What do you love about us? What don't you love about us? And do you have any great ideas for us to be better at what we do? I think those three questions covers it, what you need to get from that patient during a survey. I wouldn't even necessarily need how satisfied were you with your last dental experience with us. I think that's a good one for a new patient. They come in with a certain series of expectations that we have contributed towards with messages that we send to them on Facebook and website and then our receptionist conversation and what they were told to expect with us. That's a great question for a new patient visit. However, the other three I think is all you really need. But another couple of ideas, if you wanted to add more to this survey, is if you were to kindly refer a new patient to us, what would be your more appreciated token of our appreciation? Would you prefer a $50 discount off your next treatment, or Movie for Two voucher, or a personal telephone call to express our gratitude, or you'd prefer no token at all? Then at least you're trying to tap into that for the referrers, if you were going to send this out to your referring list, then you're starting to understand what they see as a token of appreciation. We deliver to them what we think is going to be appropriate, but what's going on in their mind? I think that's going to be important information. And I've put in there no token at all, because what I found with my practice was there were many people, they were normally of an older generation, that when they did refer somebody to us and then I went down the path of giving them their incentive, their reward, their incentive, their token of appreciation, they would say, no, I did it because I truly believe you are a great practice. And they didn't want the reward. That's not what spoke to them. So So it was coming more from a sense of reciprocity that they felt towards the practice because we had delivered to them a great, consistent service. And so I think no token there is a good option to put in there. Another section that you could throw in there to your survey is, could you help us out? Positive Google reviews has a sustainable impact on our reputation. If you are happy with the service we provide, may we ask that you add a Google review for us? If so, click on the link below. You do need to have a Google account to submit reviews, and then you've got a little, and you add your little Google review link there for them to do so. Now, keep in mind, you can ask for testimonials from patients and post them as long as they've got nothing to do with the treatment that they received. If their review says, for example, the team are very friendly and look very professionally dressed in their uniforms and they've got great parking and they're just so close to the bus stop, those sort of things are allowed. It's just assurances around actual treatment and treatment outcomes that you can't put inside those Google reviews. And so you can actually ask for a Google review about the other stuff that goes on towards giving them a fantastic patient experience. Now, to give you a very quick overview on how easy it is to create this sort of survey, you to get a picture in there, you go to the Customize Theme button, add an image in there. You can change the colors within it, the colors they're picking up from that image there, but you can add a whole bunch of other colors in there as well. As you can see, any color you like, add. There we go. We've got black. We've got blue tint instead. If you don't want to collect people's email addresses, you just go to the change of the settings and say, I don't want to collect the email responses. Save that. You can add additional areas just by hitting the plus sign. You've got this choice of, is it going to be a short answer you're after, a paragraph, a multiple choice, check boxes, a drop down box. All these options here of what kind of question it's going to be. What do you love about us? Question mark. And you go, that's going to be a long answer. It's already read that it's going to be a longer answer. So people can actually start putting additional answers in there. You can make any of the questions actually required in order to complete the survey. And you can add as many sections as you like. You can just keep on going. And then you can view what it's going to end up looking like for the patient themselves. This is the Magnificent Dental Practice. Thanks so much for your feedback. Everything with an asterisk in red is required. What do you love about us? Everything. These are additional questions that I just threw in there. How satisfied were you? I was 8 satisfied. What do you love about us? This and this. What don't you enjoy about visiting us? Lack of car parks. Do you have any suggestions for improvement for us? Stop charging me. If you were to kindly refer a new patient to us, what would be your more appreciated token of appreciation? A telephone call. How lovely does that sound? I would like you to call me. Could you do this? And then if the link is there, then that can go be taken straight along to the Google review link, and then they submit their answer. And then you can edit that survey anytime, and whenever somebody opens it up, they get the updated version. So if you notice a typo, you can jump in there and fix it straight away. It's no big deal. If you want to add additional questions, take out other questions, such as this one here. I don't need that one there anymore. So I'm going to trash it. I'll trash this one too. I didn't populate that one. And so you can modify it as you go. You keep collecting the responses here. You keep collecting the responses here. Right beside the questions tab is the responses tab. You can see a summary of what everyone says. Or you can look at each individual's responses. And now what you need to do is get the link to this survey so you can share it amongst those lists of patients that you've identified. The patients that you love the most, the big spenders, the big referrers, and the ones that get all the treatments that you love doing. And the way you do that is over here, you hit send. And then you can directly email them, but I don't suggest emailing them. The open rate on emails when they're being sent to people that aren't expecting an email are so ridiculously low. It's like 13% or 15%. So you won't have any guarantee that anyone's actually going to read your email. What I suggest you do is get a link and SMS through the link. If they can do it on their phone, then really nice and easy. And the open rate for SMS is like 98%. It's ridiculously high. So go to this tab here, copy. You can shorten the URL because you're going to do a text message. You want to shorten the URL down. Copy that and then SMS, use the mobile telephone numbers that you've got for these patients and SMS out the survey. And I think you'll be really intrigued about the results of those surveys. It's fantastic to hear from people who love coming back to see you. And it's a very useful thing as a practice to understand what makes your patients happy, thrilled, delighted with your service of them. And it's crucial information. What are you doing, which is great, that you have to make sure is a consistent part of your service that you deliver? And what do you do that could be improved upon? Because we're all on that never-ending improvement journey. So let's identify the areas where we can improve. And what are some really brilliant creative ideas that our patients may have in what things we can implement to make their experience with us even greater? I do encourage you to look into the reports, finding out these groups of patients, get that list together. It might be 100 people that you end up getting together. Quickly set up your survey. It takes like 15 to 30 minutes at the most, depending on how great you are with applications like that. Get those links out to these highly valuable patients in your patient base, and let's start improving in the way that our favorite patients want us to improve, and we'll start strengthening our patient base from that point on. Good luck with it. If you have any questions, please contact me anytime. See you next week. Bye.